Hello, everyone, and welcome to the National Geographic Society program, brought to you by Sun Sounds of Arizona. My name is Chuck Berry. I'm your Sun Sounds volunteer reader. I'll be reading articles published by the Geographic Society in April of 2024. I hope you enjoy the program today. We'll begin with this article titled, What Were the Oldest Animals to Glow? A new study offers a clue. Hundreds of plants, fungi, and animals can do it. Now scientists think bioluminescence may have evolved 540 million years ago in Earth's ancient oceans. By Robin George Andrews. From fireflies to glowworms, algae to squid, a dazzling array of organisms can perform an act of magic. They can generate their own light through a process known as bioluminescence. And it isn't just an aesthetic wonder. It has evolved independently at least 100 times in nature and has dozens of diverse uses, from luring prey to freaking out predators to winking at a potential mate. But when did life first develop the ability to glow in the dark? For decades, scientists believed the oldest example of animal bioluminescence could be found in a diminutive marine crustacean known as an ostracod, one that lived 267 million years ago and could light itself up. But a new study published today in the Proceedings of the Royal Society B winds the clock on bioluminescence way, way back. By studying an oft-bioluminescence group of deep-sea critters named octocorals, scientists have concluded that they shared a primeval light-bearing ancestor that lived 540 million years ago. This creature would have emerged during the Cambrian explosion, a period in Earth's history of seemingly supercharged evolutionary activity that saw many of the major animal groups we know today appear for the first time. That was a very exciting and pleasant surprise, says Danielle DeLeo, a deep-sea biologist at Florida International University and the study's lead author. Bioluminescence and light signaling in general could be one of the oldest forms of communication that we have evidence of, which was not what we were originally expecting. In other words, the seas and oceans of the world are generally dark places, but almost as long as complex animals have existed, so too have there been lights flickering in the darkness. Traps, beacons, and klaxons. Bioluminescence is a cold light chemical reaction, one that requires the presence of luciferin, a light-making compound. Some light forms make luciferin themselves, while others absorb it from symbiotic organisms or by ingesting it. Some animals even give luciferin-containing bacteria or algae a comfortable abode in their bodies. But regardless of how luciferin is obtained, it is then combined with a catalyst, commonly luciferase, to generate luminescence. And different hues are emitted depending on how the luciferin molecules are arranged. While a variety of land life forms have bioluminescence, by far the most biological fireworks can be found in the ocean. Three-quarters of marine animals are able to light themselves up in some way, and there's almost no limit to their creativity. It's so diverse and variable, says DeLeo. In some cases, bioluminescence can announce an animal's quest for a paramour. Predators with rumbling stomachs can use the process to blind and stun their dinner, or draw gullible prey into their maws, or to act as a searchlight to spy a swimming snack. Bioluminescence is also used for defenses, including camouflage, making an animal's underbelly glow so it blends in with the iridescent waves at the sea surface, for example, and as a decoy, detaching a luminous body part to distract a voracious predator, perhaps. Some deep-sea crustaceans even employ a flamboyantly guttural method of protection. They have this bioluminescent vomit that they spew out when they're startled, says DeLeo. Octocorals can also shine in the dark, although superficially similar to the stony-housed polyp colonies that make up coral reefs many are familiar with. These wiggly animals have a soft structure, along with a few other morphological quirks. And the presence of their bioluminescence is debated, although these immobile inhabitants of the deep may sometimes use their light to lure in some tasty invertebrates to supplement their diet. They glow most noticeably when they are prodded, perhaps to startle a hungry predator. It's what we call the burglar alarm hypothesis, says Jan Copley, a marine ecologist at the University of Southampton, who wasn't involved with the new work. Bioluminescence is used to make a commotion, one that attracts the attention of potential predators of the predator. A bright ancient time. Debates about purpose aside, DeLeo and her colleagues wanted to use octocorals to try something ambitious, find the earliest ancestor that could bioluminesce. A recent detailed octocoral evolutionary tree, using genetic data from almost 200 species, gave them that chance. First, they placed additional octocoral fossils with known ages on that tree to better illuminate how various lineages are related. They also mapped out the three branches that featured living bioluminescent species. Then they used statistical analyses to work out how probable it was that various ancestors were bioluminescent. Ultimately, the team rewound the clock by 540 million years, back to the time of the common ancestors of octocorals, a creature that was almost certainly capable of self-illumination. We did think there was a good chance the age of the most recent common ancestor was going to be hundreds of millions of years old. We didn't realize quite how old, says DeLeo. That bioluminescence could be traced back to the Cambrian explosion is an elegant finding. It is the time that we knew that eyes were taking off, says Copley, referring to animals that evolved the ability to detect light. It makes sense that bioluminescence would emerge around the same time. I don't think it's a coincidence at all. But that primordial glowing was probably not used for today's burglar alarm-like purpose. We think that light production was more of a secondary byproduct, says DeLeo, an inadvertent brilliance triggered by another biochemical reaction. But over time, the bioluminescent reactions were kept because they started serving this really important function of communication or light signaling. It's possible that the origins of bioluminescence may go back even further than the Cambrian, perhaps due to the paucity of fossils older than this period. Scientists may never conclusively find out when this underwater starlight first appeared. But thanks to that initial ignition, a cornucopia of life forms today can light up their surroundings, giving researchers countless opportunities to study this remarkable ability. There's so much more to discover, says DeLeo. And that ends the first article today. What were the oldest animals to glow? A new study offers a clue, by Robin George Andrews. We'll move now from the bottom of the ocean to outer space. With this article, here's how astronomers found one of the rarest phenomena in space. the source of a huge burst of radiation from deep space that hit Earth in 2023 likely was one of the rarest and most bizarre objects in the universe, a magnetar, by Adam Kovac. On November 12, 2023, a huge burst of gamma radiation hit the European Space Agency's orbiting Integral satellite. The rush of radiation lasted just one-tenth of a second, but immediately an alert went out to astronomers around the world. Working as fast as possible, they turned their instruments toward the point in deep space the gamma rays had come from, to see if they could find its source. And that's when things started to get very strange indeed. Gamma rays are incredibly bright, energetic jets that come from deep space and, on occasion, hit Earth. They have been detected since the 1960s, and astronomers thought they knew enough about the phenomenon to suspect this gamma ray was emitted by two neutron stars colliding far off in space. Neutron stars are the incredibly dense cores of dead stars, and their collisions can be explosive and send out gamma rays and other radiation, followed by gravitational waves. If this had to been a normal gamma ray burst, what people would have expected is to see the so-called afterglow. Sandro Marighetti, a researcher at Italy's Istituto di Astrofisica Spaziale e Fisica Cosmica Milano, says, even short bursts of gamma rays then emit radiation in X-rays in the optical band and in the radio band that lasts for several hours or even days. But that's not what the astronomers found at all. Rare origins. The X-rays were nowhere to be found, so Marighetti and a team of fellow scientists hypothesized that the source of the gamma radiation in this instance might, in fact, be one of the rarest and most powerful explosions in the known universe, a giant flare emitted from a magnetar, a kind of neutron star that is highly magnetic and, despite being the size of a small city, is the same mass as our sun. Magnetars, which, like other neutron stars, are birthed from the collapse of much more giant stars, have extremely powerful magnetic fields, thousands of times stronger than those found on other neutron stars, for reasons that still mystify astronomers. Magnetars are powered by the decay of the magnetic field, Marighetti explains, and this causes a lot of heat, so these are hot objects from this process, which also causes the emission of giant flares. What happens, he says, is that the magnetic fields finally snap, a process similar to what happens on the sun when its magnetic fields snap and burp out coronal mass ejections, flares of energy that can cause auroras here on Earth. These ejections from our sun are powerful, often consisting of billions of tons of plasma, but they pale in comparison to a magnetar giant flare, which can emit, in just a hundredth of a second, the same amount of energy put out by the sun over the course of a million years. Neutron stars are the densest matter in the universe, so if you keep adding mass, eventually that will collapse to a black hole, which isn't matter anymore. Eric Burns, an assistant professor of astrophysics at Louisiana State University, who was not involved in the new work, says, so that extreme density allows that object to house incredibly powerful magnetic fields. If it wasn't that dense, the magnetic fields would just rip the star apart. These unique conditions make magnetars rare, and their giant flares even rarer. Gamma ray bursts are detected roughly once a month, Marighetti says, but only three magnetar giant flares have been spotted from within the 100 billion stars within the Milky Way in the last 50 years. Spotting the flares from outside our galaxy is even harder, as you need to be pointing the detector in the right direction and be able to differentiate their radiation from other sources of gamma ray explosions. Yet for the first time, Marin Getty and his colleagues have managed to do just that. Their hypothesis, a magnetar, seems to have borne fruit and given them a scientific first. The lives of stars. In a new paper published in Nature, Marin Getty and his team lay out their case that the eruption detected in November 2023 was the result of a giant flare from a magnetar located in the M82 galaxy, which is 12,000 light-years away. In the past, there have been few cases of tentative discoveries of giant flares in external galaxies, but the one that we report is much more convincing, just because it's the most localized, with a much better procedure, he says. The results have astronomers exceptionally excited, says Burns, particularly because of the origin in M82. Due to the effects of its proximity to another galaxy, M82 is a nursery of sorts to massive stars, which are 10 times more common there than in the Milky Way. It is also a place where stars live fast and burn bright, making it a particularly curious object for study. We believe that the population of magnetars in M82 is quite large, so maybe it's not a coincidence that this event was discovered in this galaxy and not in another one, says Marin Getty. His team's discovery was a fortuitous one. The Integral satellite just happened to be looking in the general vicinity of M82 when the gamma radiation arrived. The satellite itself is due to soon re-enter the Earth's atmosphere, with no replacement yet scheduled for launch. In the meantime, Marin Getty said more attention will be paid to the M82 galaxy in the hopes that more giant flares can be spotted. In turn, these can offer astronomers precious data on the physics of intense magnetic fields and the life cycle of stars. Stars are born, they live, they die, they explode and produce another star, he says. There is a kind of cycle, kind of a biology in the universe, and magnetars are one of those elements in the evolutionary structure of the lifetime of stars. And that ends the article. The title was, Here's How Astronomers Found One of the Rarest Phenomenons in Space, by Adam Kovac. And we'll move now to the animal world with this article titled, Why This Rhino-Zebra Friendship Makes Perfect Sense. The orphaned youngsters, Daisy and Modjadji, have more in common than you might think. It's written by Cheryl McGuire. Whether playing ball, chasing and racing, or snuggling up together at night, Daisy, the baby white rhinoceros, and Modjadji, the plains zebra, are often inseparable at the Care for Wild Rhino Sanctuary in South Africa, where they were rehabilitated. You cannot believe how adorable these guys are, says sanctuary founder Petronelle Nieuwont, of the two young animals she helped raise. Modjadji, named after the local rain goddess, was found alone and suffering from tick-borne anemia in Kruger National Park after a heavy rainstorm. A few days later, rangers found Daisy. She was only about 12 hours old and still had her umbilical cord attached. She was also sick with an infection. Her mother was likely poached for her horn. Left alone, these animals likely wouldn't have survived. But paired together, and with the help of conservationists, the unlikely friends have a chance to return to the wild. Young friends. Both species are able to stand within an hour of birth, but both white rhinos and plains zebras still require parental investment. Rhino calves stay with their mothers for 2 to 3 years, while zebras can reach independence after 1 year. In that time, the youngsters rely on their mothers for food, protection, and socialization. Although these species don't closely interact in the wild, Nuwant placed the two orphans together so that they would receive the comfort they were missing from their mothers. She says the pair especially loved to touch each other while they slept. It's the feeling of, oh, there's another little breath next to me and another little heartbeat next to me, she says. Plus, the youngsters could teach each other how to play. Play behavior is very important for building social skills, learning boundaries, and becoming physically competent, says Terry Roth, a rhino scientist at the Cincinnati Zoo. Socialization with another animal at a young age makes for a much more adapted animal as they become an adult. Protecting these peers on the plains. In the wild, rhinos and zebras' territories overlap. Both are herbivores that often chow on grass. The use of savannas by the white rhinos and the zebras is pretty similar, Roth says. And these animals are both parasodactyls, a group of hoofed herbivores that includes horses and donkeys. They are taxonomically more closely related than anything else. This may explain why a rhino would serve as a surrogate buddy for a zebra, she says. The International Union for Conservation of Nature lists the plains zebras as near threatened, and their population is decreasing. Climate change is causing extensive droughts, which make food and water less available to zebras. And they're being pushed from their habitat as people farm the land. White rhinos were once thought to be extinct, but they're now listed as near threatened thanks to conservation efforts. The main threat are poachers seeking rhino horns. Made of the same material that makes up fingernails, horns are still used in some cultures as traditional medicine or for carvings. And though there are laws prohibiting poaching, they aren't always enforced. See you later. There are some skills both pals can only learn from their species. Roth explains that while a rhino will instinctively roll in the mud to get relief from biting flies, finding the locations of mud wallows and water sources is a skill learned from the mother. Daisy will need to learn this from other rhinos. Mojaji will need to learn about herd hierarchy with other zebras, says wildlife veterinarian and National Geographic explorer Shalene Angwini. These animals live in permanent groups with one male, up to 6 females, and their foals. They often travel in a line led by the dominant female and the rest according to rank. As they grow, Mojaji is spending less time with Daisy and more with her fellow zebras in a protected area. Nuwant often spots her hanging out near the adult rhinos in the area, but Mojaji still sometimes comes back to the center for a quick nap with Daisy. Meanwhile, Daisy continues to live at the sanctuary where they're working to help her grow. She now weighs over 1,000 pounds and learns how to interact with other orphaned rhinos. It is hoped that someday they both will be wild again, perhaps grazing close to each other. That completes the article, Why This Rhino-Zebra Friendship Makes Perfect Sense, by Cheryl McGuire. And we'll close today with some fascinating facts about Zoroastrianism. One of the world's most ancient and influential religions, Zoroastrianism thrived until the 7th century AD and is still practiced today. Zoroastrianism may be the world's first monotheistic religion. The belief in one supreme being may have originated with Zoroastrianism and influenced later monotheistic religions such as Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. According to traditions, the Zoroastrian god, Ahura Mazda, revealed the tenets of the religion to the prophet Zarathustra, or Zoroaster in Greek, in Central Asia in the 2nd millennium BC. It was once one of the largest religions in the world. It was originally practiced in the Persian Empire by millions of people. Today, less than 100,000 Zoroastrians are estimated to be living across the globe. Dogs really are their best friends. In Zoroastrian belief, dogs have incredible spiritual value and must be well taken care of, and there are severe punishments for harming dogs. It's also believed that after you die, your soul will be guided by dogs. Some of their sacred fires have been burning continuously for more than 1,000 years. Fire represents the divine to Zoroastrians, and some Zoroastrian fire temples feature flames that have been tended continuously for centuries or millennia. The fire in the Zoroastrian temple in Yazdid, Iran, is believed to have been burning since the 5th century AD. And that completes our few facts about Zoroastrianism, and it also completes the program for today. I hope you enjoyed it. This has been the National Geographic Society program brought to you by Sun Sounds of Arizona. My name is Chuck Berry. It's been my privilege to be your volunteer reader. The articles today were all published in April of 2024 by the Geographic Society. Stay well, stay safe, have a wonderful week, and keep listening to Sun Sounds of Arizona. And if you missed a program you'd like to hear, go to the sunsounds.org website, click on Broadcast Info and Audio, then click on Demand. You'll see a list of programs. Hopefully you'll find the one you're looking for. Thank you so much for spending your time with me today.